Chapter 25. Do not be afraid. Have faith. What is right will be done. The Truth by High Reverend Father Ian Clevenger. You wasted backpack space for a bottle of... Faith squints. What is that? It's Brunello, Cormac says, as if offended that Faith can't recognize it on sight. Classic vintage, 2019. Just say old-ass wine, nerd, Aisha says. Let me see it. Absolutely not. This cost $400. Salvador puts up a hand from where Aziz sprawled on the carpet. I think we're in a situation where eating the rich is not only allowed, but acceptable, encouraged, and part of a well-rounded diet. Essential vitamins and minerals, you know. We hardly count it as rich, Cormac says. You have a $400 bottle of grape juice. I'm literally going to kill you. Cormac wrinkles his nose. I hate you all. Do you want any or not? The lot of us, the watch, minus Nick, sit in a back corner of the bank in the late afternoon. Sunlight comes in through the high, dusty windows, dappling the carpet in gold and making everything just a little too warm. Our exhaustion seeps into the walls, deadens our eyes as we try to laugh and pretend we aren't terrified of angels, starvation, and the summer. Of everything now. I want to tell them that there's a plan, that they're going to be okay, that we all are. I want to wipe the pained looks off their faces, the ones creeping behind their masks, even as they act like they're smiling. The looks of people who are realizing that in a month, we will probably be dead, and there's not much they can do. But I need a little more time with them before everything changes. I thought you were saving it for a special occasion, Aisha says. Cormac stares at the bottle, its beautiful black glass wrapped in gold lettering. I was, but it almost burned with the rest of my stuff, and wine is shit after it gets too hot. He pulls out his knife and pops the cork with it. And, you know, we're fucked. Might as well get drunk. You guys better thank me. He drinks straight from the bottle before grudgingly handing it to Faith, who takes a large swallow to the hooting of Aisha and Salvador. Cormac grumbles that you're supposed to savor the taste of something like this, even if it isn't as good as it should be. Aisha makes a show of taking a dainty sip with her pinky finger up, and Salvador somehow manages to drink without picking Z's head off the floor. Z taps the bottle against my leg. Hey, short stuff. Want some? I shake my head. It'd mean taking my mask down. And besides, I've never actually had alcohol before. This doesn't seem like a great time to start.
I'm good.
Cormac wrinkles his nose.
You sound awful.
Seriously, Aisha says. Everything okay? I try to force a smile, but as soon as it reaches my eyes, I find I'm not faking it at all. They're my friends. I don't have to fake it for them.
I'm fine, I say. Just trying not to think about, you know, everything.
Don't I know it, Aisha says. She takes my hand and turns it over. Thankfully, the blisters from the fire overshadow the growing discoloration of my fingers, and my arms are very hidden. If you want something to take your mind off it, I've been wanting to do someone's nails for a while. It won't be too feminine if you don't want it to be. I just need a test subject.
I want my nails done, Salvador whines.
The offer's only open for Benji. He didn't steal my favorite skirt last summer. I lean my head against Aisha's shoulder and shoot Salvador a petty look. Z pouts. And he doesn't like coffee, so he needs something good in his life. Yeah, like a guy is gonna want his nails done, Cormac says, saving me from having to turn down Aisha. I won't have fingernails soon. Learn how to give stick-and-poke tattoos. That's way cooler. Salvador gets an empty water bottle from Zir's bag and pours some of the wine into it, Cormac scoffs.
Here, Z says, pushing the water bottle into my hand. For later, if you'll actually drink it, you picky fuck.
I take it carefully. When it sloshes, it leaves purple marks against the thin plastic.
Friends.
Thanks,
I manage. No problem. And get some sleep or something.
I think I have some cough drops, Faith says, if they're not expired.
I would cry if I could, so my body kicks up the closest thing it can get, where my eyes burn and my chest hitches. I laugh like I might be able to hide it.
I'm good. Really. Wait, you've got some wine on your lip. No, over there. Just here, let me get it.
I sit with the bottle between my knees while the rest of them bicker, the lighthearted jabbing and snickering that comes with being so close in a place like this. Alex wanders over and steals the wine from Cormac, only to hack in disgust when it hits their tongue. When Sadaf comes to kiss the top of Aisha's head, Salvador offers her a drink too, leading to a bout of awkward spluttering when Sadaf reminds them she's Muslim. Besides, she says, resting her cheek against Aisha's temple, it's nasty. There's a knock on the wall beside us. We look up, almost guiltily, like we've been caught slacking off on the job. But it's just Nick, as calm and quiet as always. I have no idea how he does it, how he stays so still when the world falls apart around him.
Hey, Salvador says, holding up the bottle to him. Want some?
No,
Nick says.
Benji, can we talk?
Right. It's happening. Maybe I can convince Nick to wait, to let me stay here a little longer. But that would be selfish. Everyone turns to me, confused frowns pulling at their masks.
Sorry, guys,
I say.
Gotta go.
Wait.
Cormac catches my bottle and takes the wine back from Salvador. He adds a little more and tosses it to me, with what I think is a mumbled yeet under his breath.
If you're not gonna drink it, at least give it to someone who will.
When, if, I survive this, if they're still here, I am never leaving them again. We meet in the copy room. I set the plastic bottle of wine on the fax machine because my hands are trembling and I don't want to make a mess. Nick says,
Erin will be here soon. She got tied up with Micah.
Yeah. Okay.
I take off my mask and shove it into my back pocket. My tongue writhes in my throat, and I wipe rot off my chin.
They're cute together.
Nick takes the wine from the fax machine, sniffs it, and takes a cautious sip. His own mask rests under his chin, showing off his squishy teenage cheeks and sharp nose, his tired eyes and hard jaw. The things that made me tell myself I was betrothed and always would be. It doesn't matter now, does it? After what Theo did? Funny how I'll go back to him after he hurts me, but as soon as he hurts the people I care about, he's dead to me. If only I had seen it from the start.
Did you try this?
Nick asks, holding up the wine to the light.
No,
I admit.
You can have it if you want.
Fine. Trade.
In exchange, he gives me the trans bead lizard he finished last night. I cradle it in my hands, admiring the pale pink, baby blue, and gentle white. All I can manage is,
thank you.
Even though I want to say, this is the first time I've gotten to hold something with my colors. For some reason, a small laugh bubbles up from my chest. With my ruined mouth, it doesn't sound much like laughter at all, but Nick seems to know what it is because his face screws up and he says,
what?
Nothing. I just...
I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it out loud. Fuck my betrothal. Fuck Theo. Fuck everything else. I say,
I was just thinking about kissing you.
Nick says slowly.
Why?
Why? Because he's handsome. Because we've been through things that make me feel like I've known him forever. Because he's the most stable thing in my life right now. Because I want something good for once. Because the idea of leaving him terrifies me so much more than it ever did to leave Theo. And that has to mean something, right?
Because I want to,
I say. Nick's throat bobs. I don't think,
and I know it wouldn't work because, look at me, right? And you don't like being touched. I respect that. Kissing is really weird if you think about it too hard. I just thought you should know how I feel before all this happens, in case I don't get to see you again.
He doesn't meet my eyes. I should have kept my mouth shut.
I made it weird, I say. Didn't I?
I don't like kissing, Nick says. I'm going at this from the wrong angle. He's focusing on the kissing, not everything around it, not what I actually need to say.
Nick, I'm using kissing you as shorthand for the fact that I like you.
Oh, Nick says. And then,
oh.
And then, I don't know why you, and a few other half-hearted, aborted protests that make an ache in my chest grow heavier and heavier before finally he lands on,
I don't know how this works.
I shake my head.
It's fine. We don't have to talk about it.
No. He takes a half step away and taps the back of his neck with his palm like he's trying to knock his thoughts loose. He says,
I don't know how to tell if I like someone. I don't know how it works, and I don't want to be wrong.
He says, I don't know why you would like me. I don't understand. He says, there are no rules for this. It scares me. I never thought Nick could be scared of anything.
Really?
I don't want to be wrong. People get hurt when I'm wrong.
Nick, that's not...
Salvador nearly died because of me, Nick says. Because I made a mistake. Because I was wrong about something. I see the scars again. Up and down your face, warping skin, painful. And the hurt in Nick's voice is enough to answer every question I've ever had about Z's old wounds. So don't. Don't say that. I swallow hard.
I'm tough enough to handle it. I swear.
But what if I lose you? Now I'm echoing him.
Oh.
Oh. What if he loses me? What if I lose him? What if all of this goes to hell and we end up with bullets in our heads and the angel standing over our bodies? What if it all goes right, but I turn into a monster that isn't worth loving? What if all of it is for nothing?
Then we can figure it out if I come back,
I say.
When we don't have to worry about that anymore.
Okay, he says. Okay. And he reaches for me and pulls me in until our foreheads touch, until our noses bump together, and his breath warms my cheek.
God, he's so warm.
This is the last time I will be safe for days, but it might as well be forever. I'm terrified. I could stay here for the rest of time if the world would just let me. When? Nick says. When you come back. When I come back, we can talk about it. We can face whatever the hell this is. We can figure it out. When I come back.
Okay.
Are you ready? He asks.
Fuck no.
Nobody in their right mind would be. Here. He takes a piece of paper out of his pocket and slips it into mine. Promise you won't read this until later. I wonder if it's the I'm sorry again.
I promise.
The door creaks open and we step away from each other. Stale air rushes into the space between us. I have to keep myself from reaching for him, from pulling him back to me, because it feels so empty without him. Aaron steps into the room, face flushed and eyes wide.
"All right," she says. "It's now or never."
Nick offers me an awkward, perfect smile before he puts up his mask. I smile back, the best I can, and step out into the hall. The three of us walk to the lobby. I swear the hall lasts forever. My mask is down, my sleeves rolled up. What's left of my heart beating, holy, 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 in my throat. We step inside. John 8, verse 32. "The truth will set you free."
I say, "Hey guys."
People turn, confused to hear someone raise their voice in the quiet. Then they realize what they're seeing, all at once, and the silence could kill.
"Hi again."
It's not enough. All the planning in the world, all of Aaron's reassurance and Nick's control, and it's not enough. The quiet goes on too long, the staring, the terror lodged in my lungs. It's long enough that I wonder if Seraph is playing tricks on me, more than the feathers at the edges of my sight and the tooth buried in the courtyard. It has frozen this moment and is forcing me to take it all in, to recognize the fear in my friend's eyes. Cormac reaching for a gun that isn't by his side anymore. Aisha's back pressed against the wall, trembling. I promised I would be good. I should have known it wouldn't be enough. It isn't until Carly audibly whimpers that I realize it isn't Seraph. It's just us. What's left of us. All terrified of one another. Nick puts a hand on my shoulder and squeezes. I can feel the tension in his fingers, like he's putting everything he has into this little touch. "Easy," he says. I'm not sure if he's talking to me or everyone else. "Everything's okay. Benji, go ahead." I don't know what to say. What is there to say at all? I am a monster standing among the living, a boy made of raw meat and dying flesh.
"It's me."
Sadaf saves me. She springs off the floor and runs to me, skirts billowing out in a pastel cloud. Aisha tries to grab her, then Faith, but she slips between their fingers and comes to a stop just inches away. Her soft hands clasp what's left of my cheeks. Her eyes glimmer.
"I knew it," she cries in triumph. "I knew something was going on. I didn't think it could be the flood since it was moving too slowly, but I knew it had to be something. Oh, are you contagious?"
I shake my head. "Didn't think so. You wouldn't do that." My chest twists painfully. She has no idea.
"Sarmat, Aisha, come look at this."
That's what breaks the spell of terror. People come up, one by one, slowly. Faith whispers, "Does it hurt?" Salvador picks me up off the ground in a hug, saying,
"You freaky bastard!"
Aaron leans against the wall, slumping with relief. Nick smiles down at his feet. One of his hands is going tip, tip, tip. But there's a happiness to it I've never seen before. "So," Alex says, watching me cautiously from beside the radio, "why are you telling us this now? What's wrong?"
I'm.
Sadaf leans forward to watch how my mouth works when I speak.
"I'm turning into an abomination. A grace. I grew up in New Nazareth. I was an angel."
Cormac's eyes snap to Nick, but he does nothing. A few people glance away like they can't bear to look at me while I speak, like I'm something they have to reconcile now.
I ran away. But before I did, they infected me with a special strain of the Flood that's turning me into a grace called Seraph. I can actually control other graces, talk to them, ask them to help. So Seraph is really, really important to the angels, and they're not going to stop tearing apart the city until they get me back.
A deep breath, a steadying one, long and slow.
So I'm going to go back to New Nazareth,
I say.
And if you'll have me, if you'll help me, I'm going to burn it to the ground.
Quiet. Look at these people, the silence says, who have rejected you. You were wrong. But Sadaf's smile still gleams in her eyes. Aisha totters to her feet, pressing both hands to her mask. Salvador begins to laugh, and it is infectious. Cormac claps a hand on my shoulder, and Faith yanks me away to wrap me in her arms, and I am not alone. I am not alone. Looks like we can't get rid of you that easy. Alex sighs.
I will be good. I will make the angels fucking suffer.